CCF weather forecast powered by Total Air Solutions.
The weather is brought to you by MyFWC.com. Life jackets save lives. Wear it, Florida. Partly sunny skies with a couple showers and even a thunderstorm from the afternoon into the early evening. Warm and humid. The afternoon's high 88 to 90. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, low 73 to 75. Couple showers and a thunderstorm on Saturday, high 87 to 91. From the Florida Weather Center, I'm Michael Stack.
Weather brought to you by Total Air Solutions. We keep your air conditioning running strong. Call 877-TOTAL-AIR or go to TotalAirFL.com.
Good morning and welcome to the slippery slope of lipids and other medical conditions. This program is brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center and is a live medical call-in and talk show. If there's something along the way you'd like to comment on or ask a question, you certainly are welcome to do so. The phone lines are now open at 206-1580 or toll-free 888-441-1580. I think you're going to find that it is a very information-packed program today, maybe also a little bit of an emotional program today. You'll find out why I say that in just a moment. Now, normally I'm going to, at this point, introduce Dr. Elizabeth Triana, who is taking an exam today to, you know, she's always furthering her education and her accreditation and so forth. So we are pleased and proud to welcome her office manager. Jennifer is with us, and it's good to have you back.
Yes, good morning.
And Jennifer, by the way, for those who don't know, is absolutely fully qualified. Again, tell us, you have a master's, I believe,
in public health. Yes.
Okay.
And I have been at the Triana Prevention Center for 11 years.
She more or less got you started on your career path, didn't she?
Yes, I started as a junior in high school. Absolutely fell in love with the family practice, her passion for taking care of patients, and I just knew that that's where I wanted to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are.
Good fit, and it just
yes
continues to fit.
All right. Well, today's topic is October Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
You've seen pink ribbons everywhere.
Which is displayed for hope, honor, courage, for memory, for the need for a cure, and to continue the fight. And I'd like anyone, if they feel like they want to call in and say in honor of or in memory of breast cancer, the month is dedicated to awareness, promotion, the fight, fundraising. That way, hopefully, if someone in the future is affected by breast cancer, then the money, the research, the funding is available for a cure.
It's also important to take the time to honor those who may have lost a battle with breast cancer. And if that's somebody that you would like to, we call it in the radio, it's cute, I know, a shout out, if you want to do a little shout out.
Yes, we welcome it this morning.
Grandmother, aunt, mother, or perhaps uncle, grandfather. Oh, yes, this is something men need to pay attention to, too, but that'll come up later.
The main point for this morning, then, to start it off, is that mammograms do save lives.
Okay.
We'll go through the program and then kind of give you options for help if you don't know where to turn to get a mammogram.
Okay.
It is estimated that the number of new cases of breast cancer in 2012 for the U.S. is going to be 226,870 for women, and yes, men too. There will be 2,190 cases of men who were diagnosed with breast cancer.
It's a fractional percent, but it's significant still.
And to know that it happens is just devastating, because how many men say, I didn't even know I had to worry about that disease?
At 2,000 and however many you just said.
Yes.
Somebody's calling. Let's see what's on their mind. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Good morning. I just like to thank Dr. Triana's office and their staff. Had my mammogram yesterday. My name is Lois Henderson. Truly wonderful what Dr. Triana and her family does for all her patients in Port Charlotte and Punta Gorda area.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, ma'am. Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye.
The numbers break down to 1 in 8 women in their lifetime will be diagnosed, and 1 in 1,000 men in their lifetime will be diagnosed with breast cancer. So I hope everyone, like Lois, took the step, made the time to get a mammogram. A mammogram only takes minutes. If it's just a routine screening, they only do 2 views most of the time on each breast, so you're not there very long. Unfortunately, cancer can take a life.
That's the important thing to remember. that couple of minutes may end up being many more years, and which is really the theme of Dr. Triana's presentation on this show, many more good years.
Yes, we want more good years for our patients and for the community. Mammograms, when done, can catch the breast cancer early, which helps your prognosis or the outlook of the disease. There is hope. The relative survival rate in 1975 was 75%.
Okay.
Today, that number has increased to 89%. And with early detection and starting treatment before it has time to spread, if the cancer is localized, then the number is 98% relative survival rate.
So it really what that points to is over the years, we've seen a tremendous amount more of attention focused on this issue, and it really has paid off. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to call in and honor my sister. She's a four-year breast cancer survivor.
Wonderful. That's terrific. What is her name, if you want to give it, that is?
Her name is Lynn. And I'd like to ask Jennifer a question, because my sister fell into a category, which I'm sure a lot of women do these days. She found her lump, and she didn't do anything about it for a solid year because she didn't have any insurance.
We are going to cover that in great detail later, aren't we, Jennifer?
Yes, especially if she's in the area, which if she isn't, then hopefully this will just give the people listening, or like if you're local, hope to help them push for an answer, for funding, for grants to get the treatment, because nobody should walk around for a year or longer with worry about it being a problem, and then if it is a problem, not having the money to find the cure.
Right, right.
So thank you so much.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you so much for doing the program today. We really appreciate it.
That's what we're here for. Thank you.
Have a good weekend, ma'am. Bye-bye.
In 2012, unfortunately, there's going to be 39,000 deaths associated with breast cancer for women and 410 for men.
Okay.
Overall, I wanted to give an overview of what breast cancer is. That way, the men that are listening or the women can encourage their men just to be aware of the disease so that they understand how it affects a man, too, which is not just a woman's disease, because it's always just associated with the women wearing pink and the pink ribbons and Susan G. Komen and all of that.
This is a message that I've tried to get across on a separate radio show that I have for years and years now, because it is not something you hear a lot about. We'll come back to that. Let's come back to the guys. We'll talk about the guys here in a second. We have another caller. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm so glad that you're doing this show today.
Wonderful.
My cousin that lives in Cape Coral, she just had a mammogram and was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she's at a stage three now. I'm not that knowledgeable about it and everything, so I'd like you to just briefly speak to me about that. And you know, what her chances are. I know she is going to have a mastectomy and then go for chemotherapy. So.
Well, of course, it's difficult to say, you know, specific case, but in general, when you hear stage three.
Yes. I actually have that in my outline to get to, to just explain overall what the stages mean and then the different types of treatment. Because, again, you know, it's tough to say specific to everyone. I'm so glad you called.
And I think you'll hear about this coming up. Yes.
I also have a little something I wanted to talk about as far as being a caregiver and how important you can be for your cousin in the upcoming.
I'd like to know that.
Yes. Thank you.
Stay with us. We will cover it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. These are all excellent questions today, and it's ideal that you came with the answers right in front of you.
Yeah.
So please proceed. We're talking about men and its effects.
So cancer starts when cell formation goes wrong. Mm-hmm. Our body is always making new cells. Old cells are dying, all of that. Mm-hmm. So like the cancer begins when a new cell starts growing, even though we don't need them. And or the older damaged cells don't die as they should.
Okay.
Well, then all these extra cells form the mass in the tissue, and that's either a lump, a growth, or a tumor.
Okay.
The tumor then is either determined to be benign, which is not cancerous, or malignant, which is cancerous. There are four main types of breast cancer, depending on where in the breast tissue the lump is found.
Okay.
There are about 15 to 20 sections or lobes in a woman's breast.
Mm-hmm.
Tests are done based on the lump, most of the time with a biopsy,
mm-hmm.
and this helps determine the treatment based on if the growth is hormone dependent or protein dependent. There are then staging testing done to determine if the cancer cells have spread to other parts of the body, the lymph nodes, the lungs, the mm-hmm. liver, bones, or brain.
Okay.
Then different testing is done depending on where they think maybe it has grown, CAT scans, MRIs, mm-hmm. bone scans, or even PET scans. Each test shows different things. One mm-hmm. shows the bone and if it's affected and different things like that. So okay. that's when upcoming for the caller who just told us about her cousin, mm-hmm. you'll start to probably hear the terms that the different things she's going through, and mm-hmm. that's because they're looking to see maybe if it had spread.
Okay.
The different stages are based on the size of the tumor. Stage one is early. Stage four means it has spread. So, and then there's ones in between, like 1A, mm-hmm. 2B.
Okay.
So there, it's so complex.
I was going to say, it's not as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4, obviously.
And that number will probably come either from the radiation oncologist or the medical oncologist who would do the chemotherapy.
Okay.
There is different treatments. Some people just have surgery, like the lump removed, and then it's just watched. Some mm-hmm. people have to do the radiation. Some have hormone therapy. Some have chemo. Some have a combined treatment plan.
Mm-hmm.
Have the lump removed and then radiation, chemotherapy, mm-hmm. different things based on the history and your history in the past of your medical conditions.
It sounds like our caller was saying that her cousin and her oncologist have already made the decision that a mastectomy is going to be necessary.
Yes.
Just to re-enlighten the audience.
And a lot of people go that route just to avoid maybe future recurrence. You know, mm-hmm. if there is no breast tissue there, then that lowers your risk mm-hmm. of developing new problems.
When you face that situation, and God forbid, let's hope you never do, but when you face that situation where you're being told by a doctor, I'm really going to recommend a mastectomy, which is fairly radical.
Yes.
Do you think a second opinion is necessary, required, a useless waste of time? How do you feel about that?
We at the Triana Prevention Center always encourage a second opinion if you're even the least bit on the fence, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many great cancer institutes
mm-hmm.
that if you didn't feel comfortable, you would be foolish not to explore those different avenues, because that's why they're there.
I know for... And this is kind of funny to hear a guy on the radio talking about this, but I know from what I have seen in my personal experiences, mastectomy can be an extremely devastating thing for a woman to go through. So it would certainly make sense.
Not to mention the pain involved.
Exactly. So a second opinion, always recommended.
Yes. There is, for the lady who called, might be something good to look at. The National Cancer Institute actually has a free book on their website that you can print, you can read it online, or you can even download it to an e-reader.
Okay.
It's called What You Need to Know About Breast Cancer, and it breaks down each different stage of your treatment and then specific questions you might want to ask your provider.
Oh, that's good.
Related to where you are in your treatment plan.
That's good.
You can get that on cancer.gov.
Cancer.gov, a government
yes.
website. And the name of that publication again is...
The National Cancer Institute, What You Need to Know About Breast Cancer.
Okay, gotcha.
Who is at risk is always a question we hear at the Triana Prevention Center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't need to get my mammogram because I'm too young
mm-hmm,
or simple things like that. Almost everyone has been affected by breast cancer, whether it was personally or someone you knew about.
Somebody close to you, yeah.
There's actually, in 2009, there were 2 million cases of women who had breast cancer but who were still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, you've probably come in contact with someone and might not even understood the struggle they went through to be a survivor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The prognosis, like I said, is determined by the size of the tumor and how far it is spread. So early detection is the key. If you think something has changed, you felt something, go see your doctor. most likely they'll do a clinical breast exam and then take the next step to do a mammogram. If you just had your mammogram, then there's other things we can do, breast ultrasounds or even diagnostic ultrasounds, MRIs of the breast.
By the way, I guess I feel sort of duty-bound to say what we're talking about here are exams beginning with the mammogram, but kind of the unspoken thing is here, you should be self-checking all the time.
Self-breast exams.
Men and women.
Men and women, 20 years and older is kind of like the starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Risk factors that we can't change. Your gender. Being female obviously puts you at greater risk than a man because of the estrogen and progesterone,
right,
which helps promote the cancer cell growth.
Mm-hmm.
Our age. The older we are, the more at risk we are. The average age a woman is diagnosed is 61 years old.
Okay.
But we recommend getting a mammogram, the American Cancer Society, but we as in, you know, the healthcare
body
profession,
yes, uh-huh,
40 years, and then 85 years old is kind of like, unless the person still wants to continue, we don't really say we're going to not take care of you because you don't have a mammogram. 85
right,
has
right,
kind of been the rule of thumb that you would no longer need
the cutoff
to check for
okay,
it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unless you're mom, your sister, or your daughter have been diagnosed with breast cancer, well, then we need to be even more aggressive because genetics is related to 5 to 10% of breast cancer cases.
Okay.
It's usually due to a hereditary mutation. I'm sure you've heard BRCA1 and BRCA2 mentioned when people are talking about breast cancer. These are two main genes. There are other genes that mutate and cause cancer, but they're much rarer. We can do genetic testing, but you really want to make sure, this kind of goes into the second opinion thing, you have a qualified personnel interpreting the genetic testing because it's not cut and dry.
Okay. This is, again, where you want a real specialist to...
Yeah, to order and then to interpret it for you. Your personal history of breast cancer. If you've had breast cancer, you are at 3 to 4 times the likely to develop a new breast cancer. It's not a reoccurrence, but it's another episode of breast cancer, either in the same breast, the other breast, or somewhere else. It just makes you that much more at risk if you've had a personal history.
It's and I think this is an important point. It's not a continuation necessarily of what you went through the first time. It's an all new case or
growth
and a new instance.
Yes.
Okay.
Race. White women over 45 are at slightly higher risk than African-American women. That number's a little different if we're under 45. The African-Americans actually have a little higher rate than women.
Okay.
But 45 makes you... your race come into effect.
Mm-hmm.
If you have dense breast tissue, these are all things that we can't control.
Mm-hmm.
Your menstrual period. If you started menstruating before the age of 12, or if you went through menopause after the age of 55, then you have a higher risk because the prolonged exposure to the estrogen and progesterone of the cycle.
Okay. Never heard that before.
Yes. See, these are all things why it's important to have routine medical care with a primary care doctor, because we help you know this stuff so that you don't have to know it.
Exactly. And Dr. Triana is so big on emphasizing that when you come in, you're going to get so many questions, but it's much to your benefit. So be prepared for this and
be prepared for the questions and have the answer.
Right.
A lot of times on your yearly exam, we say, when was your first menstrual period?
Exactly. Yeah.
Very little people think, oh my goodness, I haven't thought about that in so long. I don't
right,
remember.
Exactly.
But we're asking for a reason, not just to make you think way back.
Mm-hmm.
Risk factors we can control.
Mm-hmm.
Birth control. This actually decreases our risk a little bit, goes back to the cycle of estrogen and progesterone, and you can control it. Having children. If you've never had a child or if your first one was after the age of 30, this increases your risk because pregnancies actually reduce the number of cycles we have.
So
if you had never been pregnant, then you're still getting all those menstrual cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Hormone therapy. And please ask your doctor about this. This is kind of one of those that's always in the news. Should we take hormone replacement therapy? Should we not?
It's a hot button issue.
This is for Dr. Triana to answer. She's actually at the North American Menopause Society conference this weekend. But I just wanted to let you know what the difference was.
Okay.
A woman who has had a hysterectomy, which means your uterus was removed, then you usually only get estrogen treatment for like the hot flashes, menopausal symptoms.
Okay.
If you still have your uterus, then you usually still get the combined treatment, estrogen and progesterone.
Okay.
And then there's some new bioidentical stuff that's available that is structured close to the natural process in a woman's body.
Mm-hmm.
Is another option that you would most likely be presented with if you went to your doctor complaining of menopausal symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Breastfeeding actually lowers your risk. Alcohol. If you drink a lot of alcohol, that puts you at higher risk. The American Cancer Society says a woman should only be having one drink a day if they're going to have any.
Okay.
Being overweight after you go through menopause increases your risk because after menopause, you don't have the estrogen, but then our fat cells are acting like estrogen and releasing that same hormone.
Okay.
And then physical activity. The American Cancer Institute says that if we do 30 to 60 minutes of brisk walking every day, we actually reduce our risk by 18%. So it kind of goes back to everything else we've talked about, the get up and move. It's all intertwined. I hope Dr. Triana's goal was for everyone to see how everything is so related to each other.
Right.
And why not one program is the answer to everything.
Sure, sure.
What can we do for breast health since October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
Mm-hmm.
We want you to get your clinical breast exam every year by your provider. We want you to do the self-breast exams if you're over the age of 20. If you don't know how to do one, or you're not sure if you're doing yours right, please ask.
Uh-huh.
We're here to help. They have flyers that hang up in the shower to remind you. Because knowledge is power again. You're going to be the one to notice a change in your body.
Speaking as a guy, too, I must interject here that most guys don't think about this. And that's one of the reasons why we're bringing that to the table to talk about this. But most guys, when it's time to talk about self-breast exams, it goes right over our heads. We might be the ones that actually need the advice and instruction more than women and probably are a little too ashamed to ask
for it. I was just going to say, don't be ashamed to ask. We are there to help.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be like embarrassed. I don't want to have my wife see me doing it because they should be there encouraging you to do it because they need you.
Hey, put it on the calendar. Do it at the same time.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Make it a party.
Yeah, there you go.
Where to find help to get a mammogram.
Mm-hmm.
If you're insured, well, then almost every single insurance covers it at 100%. Even if you have a huge deductible, a mammogram is one of those things that does not go into your deductible. Now, don't quote me on that, but that is a rule of thumb. If you were to call an imaging center, they're going to tell you most every insurance covers your yearly mammogram.
Uh-huh.
It's a Florida law that you don't even need an order for a mammogram from your doctor to get a mammogram.
Really?
Although, yes, it's Women's Initiative. You have the right to
know.
Although nobody encourages it, because if you did have something wrong, then who do you have to follow up with you? It's the imaging center's responsibility then to get you the treatment. And you don't deserve that as the patient.
Right,
you deserve the family practice who's going to get you in the right avenue and follow you from start to finish.
Right.
Because that's what we're dedicated to doing.
You need somebody there the whole way, right?
A mammogram in Charlotte County, because I made a lot of phone calls to kind of help do all the legwork for everyone, because we hate when somebody comes in and says, I didn't know where to go, or I didn't know that was an option. Especially for the month of October, almost everyone is doing a deal. And I'm not going to quote any one person's price because, you know, then I'm not here to represent that company.
Right.
But the average price was from $100 to $200.
Okay.
$200 being the normal price for a mammogram, even when it is in October.
Okay.
A lot of them had $25 off. A lot of them had a free mammogram if you were over the age of 50 and never had a mammogram before.
Okay.
Different things like that.
So you need to do a little legwork yourself, a little homework, make a few phone calls.
Yeah. Know that the options are there. that the price is not completely out of reach. And going back to the other caller, don't make the mammogram an excuse that even if I find out my mammogram is abnormal, then I don't have the money to get the treatment, because a little more work will help find solutions for that problem too. In Charlotte County, Virginia B. Andes, which is a free clinic for the poor and uninsured, actually has a grant by Susan G. Coleman. Debbie is the health nurse navigator there. If you went to them, uninsured and poor, they would get you your mammogram. And then if something was wrong, they actually follow it through from start to finish. The biopsy, the treatment, the follow-up. So there's help there. If you don't know who to call, ask your provider. They might know, or they might be able to get you in touch with somebody who does know.
Well, you can certainly call the Triana Prevention Center, even if you're not a patient. Obviously, you guys have this information.
We have it.
And so we'll give the number out at the end of the program, by the way.
And actually, I didn't know some of this. There used to be a program by the American Cancer Society, which is no longer, but they were able to give me some new information. So it's always changing. We're always trying to get the most up-to-date information to lead you in the right place.
This is the month to make a move on this subject, too, obviously.
If you have no provider and don't know where to go, you can always go to the Charlotte County Health Department. You are seen at their family practice clinic, and then they give you a voucher to go get a mammogram.
Okay.
There's the Family Health Services in Charlotte County, who you can go to if you don't have insurance. I think they do a sliding scale of their fee.
I think you're right.
And then Dollars for Mammograms is a nonprofit organization that was in Inglewood that is now moved into Charlotte County. Since 2000, they have given 1,500 women a mammogram who otherwise would not have been able to.
Wow, I didn't know the number was that high. That's impressive.
Yes. It's so impressive that we actually signed up to do one of their fundraisers at the Triana Prevention Center because we want to continue to have that service available for our patients in the community.
Right. Well, the Barstool Open is this Saturday, and that's one of their big events to raise money, I know. So it's ongoing. This is an ongoing program. I just want to caution you that we've only got about 2.5 minutes left, and I know you have got tons of notes and lots of information. Let's make sure we get to the most important stuff.
Most important, being a caregiver. If you are going through it or have a loved one that's going through it, you might not understand how important it is to that person if they have a caregiver. The caregiver is someone who helps the person with cancer most often without being paid to do so. You're there to help them do laundry, to get them to the appointments, to help them eat right, to take notes at the doctor's appointment. So when you guys get home, you don't say, oh, my goodness, what just happened?
I forgot what was said. Yeah.
Yes. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Always take notes. I don't think the person going through the treatment could probably make it without the caregiver by their side, because actually the stress of the new diagnosis increases your cortisol level, which causes inflammation, which puts you at risk for having a heart attack or stroke. So anything you can do to help the person that you love, or a coworker who you know has no one else just to be there for, to hold a hand, to take a walk, to answer phone calls.
And I imagine there are numerous support groups in the community also for breast cancer victims and caregivers.
In the Feeling Fit that just came out September 30th has a whole list of support, local support. And then you can also call the American Cancer Society, who then sets you up with someone locally for a support group.
This is all such great information, obviously way more than we had time for. So here's the contact information. If you want to follow up with the Triana Prevention Center, the website is TrianaPreventionCenter.com. We've got a link on our website, WCCFAM.com. If you want to call and talk to Jennifer, because Dr. T is out for the weekend, Jennifer's got all this info. What's the number at the office?
It's 625-1990.
625-1990. And please, if you're not a patient of Dr. Triana's, don't feel like, well, I can't call. That's not right to do. They would love to help you point you in a direction.
And our website has the email link where you could just email a question and Dr. Triana would answer it for you next Friday when she's here, which is the TrianaPreventionCenter.com.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. Have a great weekend.
You.